I'm in that place of convergence. Uncertain if affirming a miracle is just a convenient way to deny an unavoidable truth. God, please heal my mom.
Assumption override. Please engage critical thinking now.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Change your thinking, change your life.
I don't know what to do. I don't know the right thing to say.
What should I say?
I cannot break.
Don't break.
Cry, not now.
Keep it together.
I have to be strong.
Be strong.
For her, I have to be strong.
You have to be here for her.
For her.
Don't cry.
The smile that I'm giving her is forced, but it's genuine. It's compassionate. It is love. Mom, I'm so sorry that you have to go through this. I'm so...
Why do you have to go
through this? Why do you have to go through this? I'm sorry. Now we wait.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
For the verdict, some of which seems inevitable, but I can't think like that. I cannot think like that. Don't think like that. Don't think it. How can you pray for something when you already fear that your prayer has been rejected?
Keep it together.
So we wait. Just
you can do this. Keep it together.
Everybody just breathe.
Breathe. It looks like we're dealing with this pancreatic cancer. The prognosis with stage 4 pancreatic cancer is not good. This is not a curable cancer. It's one that eventually will take your life.
There it is. The worst. The worst fear has been verbalized. It's no longer speculation. It's here. Out in the open.
No, we know.
Her. For us, we know. She knows.
No, she knows.
Her eyes are welling up, but she's trying to be strong.
Mom.
Her expression is forced.
I'm so sorry.
It's frozen. Much like my earlier smile, I'm listening, I am. But my head is full, it's overflowing.
What are we gonna do?
How are we
What am I gonna do?
What will we...
How will we manage
What
this?
Will she... How will I...
Oh my God, I'm not even sure where to begin.
Just listen.
Keep focused.
Just listen, don't
listen.
Break.
Keep it together.
Don't let her see, don't let her see. I'm grown. I'm no longer a young man, and I don't
grow up, Mark.
But I don't want to lose her.
Be strong.
I keep it together. I don't break.
You have to be here for her.
I'm not sure how much longer, so we leave the oncologist's office. I hang back. I let my mom and my niece walk ahead, and when the door that separates us closes, I break.
Here it comes.
Here come the tears. The nurse gets me some Kleenex and gives me a hug.
It's so hard.
Now we will go home and begin. Begin to prepare.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if appointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
I've struggled with this, sharing all of this, not because I feel that it's too personal. Most of you know that I crossed that bridge a long time ago. I committed long ago to show up in my full capacity of all that I am, the good, the bad, the evolving, the backslidden, the ugly, because it's the only way that I can make peace with continuing to apologize for all that I am, for all that I am not, and for, God forbid, all that I will never be. And I think, dear God, Mark, how narcissistic can you be? It's your mom
that has cancer. It's your dad that has vascular dementia. They are the victims. They are the ones that are truly suffering. Make it about yourself, why don't you? And yes, that is all painfully true. And yet, there's another side to the story. The part that is my story, that is my story, the story that really belongs to all of us. Where those with a terminal illness are given a predicted end on the horizon, we are not. We are in the midst of that hyphen between life and death with no real sense of our time left here on this planet. So what do we do with that? We can either live in fearful speculation of what is to come, worrying about the future, rehearsing for that which we do not want to happen, surrendering the gift of now for concern of what might be unfolding, or we can be present. We can relish the gift that we all share, which is now, right now, this moment. Because any one of us could walk out and get hit by a bus. You know, I've always said that I will most likely suffer an absurd demise, like that guy walking to work that gets killed by an icicle. But not today. I am here talking to you today. So rather than surrendering my potential joy for perceived lack and limitation, let me work with what I've got today. Let me have fun while I still can. Let me love while I still can. Let me say what I need to say while I still can. This is the gift. For this, we can all be grateful. For this, we can say yes to life rather than unconsciously breathing through an existence. This has been the message of my life to myself and other people for the past 16 years. This is my opportunity to cross the bridge between belief and experience. Now, I can live the philosophy to which I claim to subscribe. I can laugh, not in disrespect or denial of what is happening, but because it is an option that is available to me. And while it is available to me, I'm going to take it. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, I am the co-creator of this life that I've been awarded. And that's no joke. How I will be remembered is how I have lived. And the question that is on my business card is more relevant to me now, today, than it has ever been before. Who do you want to be? Now, the answer may change from day to day, but the question remains. Your life is either one of conscious creation or unconscious default. And for me, my parents are a reminder that the time to choose is right now. And the luxury of such a choice and all that accompanies it, that's the greatest of all gifts. So I ask you what I'm asking myself today. Who do you want to be?
Second counts on the clock that's ticking. Gotta live like we're dying. We only got it. Professor Randy Pausch showed us that facing your mortality is really a gift, and it can be the biggest motivator to start to live your life now and remain present in the now. Randy was on the show to share his insights on appreciating life and what's really more important from his famous and last lecture, a lecture that's been watched by more than 13 million people on YouTube.
So I'm reprising a talk that I gave in September at Carnegie Mellon University. There's an academic tradition called the last lecture. Hypothetically, if you knew you were going to die and you had one last lecture, what would you say to your students? Well, for me, there's an elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that for me, it wasn't hypothetical. I've been fighting pancreatic cancer. It has now come back after surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. And the doctors tell me there's nothing more to do and I have months to live. I have three little kids. Let's be clear, this stinks. But I can't do anything about the fact that I'm going to die. I'm pursuing medical treatments, but I pretty much know how this movie's going to end. And I can't control the cards I'm dealt, just how I play the hands. Now, if I'm not morose enough for you, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I don't choose to be an object of pity. And in fact, although I'm going to die soon, I'm actually physically very strong. In fact, I'm probably physically stronger than most of the people in this audience. Yeah. So, today's talk is not about death. It's about life and how to live, specifically about childhood dreams and about how you can try to achieve them. Probably the most wonderful thing my parents did was they let me paint my bedroom. I said one day, I want to paint stuff on the walls. And they said, okay. But the great thing is that they let me do it. And they felt that letting me express my creativity was more important than the pristine nature of the walls. And I was really blessed to have parents who saw it that way. My parents taught me about the importance of people versus things. So when I got older and I bought my first car and I was so excited, I had this shiny new convertible. This is my niece and nephew, Christopher and Laura. And every month I'd take them for a weekend, so my sister and her husband would get a little break, and we'd go off on adventures. And I'd just shown up with my new car, and my sister's explaining to Chris and Laura, now it's Uncle Randy's new car, you can't get it dirty, da-da-da-da-da. And they're just cracking up laughing, because over her shoulder, I'm casually opening a can of soda and just emptying it on the back seat. And they come running over, my sister says, what are you doing? And I said, it's a thing. It's just a thing. And I'm really glad I did that, because at the end of the weekend, as I was driving them home, little Chris had had the flu, and he threw up all over the back seat of my car. And I don't care how much value you get out of owning a nice, shiny, pristine thing. It's not as good as I felt knowing that I made an 8-year-old boy not feel guilty just because he'd had the flu. Next thing, you better decide early on if you're a Tigger or an Eeyore. Tiggers are energetic, they're optimistic, they're curious, they're enthusiastic, and they have fun, and never ever underestimate the importance of having fun. I am dying soon, and I am choosing to have fun today, tomorrow, and every other day I have left.
Professor Randy Pausch lost his battle with pancreatic cancer in 2008.
Glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tigger's a wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. They're bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful chaps. You're loaded with vim and with vigor. They love to leap in your lap. They're jumpy, bumpy, clumpy, thumpy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. Tiggers are cuddly fellas. Tiggers are awfully sweet. Everyone else is jealous. And that's why I repeat. Oh, the wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. The bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. Cheerio. Tiggers are cuddly fellas. Tiggers are awfully sweet. Everyone else is jealous. And that's why I repeat. Oh, the wonderful things about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of spring. The bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful things about Tiggers is I'm the only one. I'm the only one.
Ample make this bed. Make this bed with awe. In it wait till judgment break, excellent and fair. Be its mattress straight, be its pillow round. Let no sunrise's yellow noise interrupt this ground.
None of us ever know when we're going to get sick. And I'm a nurse. I've never had a cigarette. I don't drink a sip of alcohol. I got this disease. What you learn is that you can't have people around you who are negative, or what I have learned to call the assassins of joy, people that take your daily joy away. It's really key and so important to have people with positive energy in your life and to surround yourself with as many positive people as you can. There are so many enchanting moments in life, and a lot of them have to deal with interactions between you and strangers. The bagger at the Whole Foods steps up and says, "Let me bag all your stuff, go to the car with you, and put it in the car for you." When you know you have a terminal disease, it makes you enjoy everything. So many of us are so busy all day doing things, we miss enchanting moments. We rarely capture them, and we rarely enjoy them. You need to be grateful and thankful for those moments and remember them and let them help propel you through the day with joy. I think you need to choose well who you surround yourself with, who you spend your time with, what activities you engage in. It would be very easy when you're not feeling well to lay in bed for 10 hours and not do anything but watch TV. I choose to paint. I choose to do my art, play the piano. When I go for 5 or 6 hours of chemo, I don't go in my pajamas and sit in the chair like I'm a victim. I bring my watercolors with me, my quilting with me. I bring some activity. I'm extremely busy the whole entire time that I'm getting my chemotherapy. What you need to do is you need to enjoy every moment. You need to surround yourself with good people. You need to live your life with enjoyment, energy, enthusiasm. You need to look around and help people around you, help people in your life. I want to be remembered as somebody who was enchanted by moments all throughout the day, and someone who tried to cause enchanting moments for others. I want to be remembered as somebody that brought joy into people's lives and who had integrity and was a good person, I want to be remembered as somebody who passionately loves her husband and her children and her grandchildren and never acted as the victim, but always has acted as the warrior and was unafraid of anything.
Take a moment, open your eyes to all that surrounds you, and avoid the temptation to relive the past or anticipate the future. I know it's hard. What are the gifts and the opportunities for today? In order to create greater success and joy in your life, you must be willing to discipline yourself to live in the moment. This moment. If your attention is backward, if your attention is forward, how will you be mindful of opportunity when it is standing at your door? Regret is of no value unless your intention is to support an old, ineffective story. Take your lessons of yesterday and translate them into an action plan for success today. Consider the past 2 weeks. If you were to summarize this period of your life as a lesson, how would you describe it? And how can you use those experiences to live more effectively today? At the end of today, how will you evaluate your success? How are you going to measure it? Listen, if you have not considered the answers to these questions, you are not living in your full power, and you are actually standing in opposition to your full potential. Success and joy are easily lost in a sea of regret and anticipation. So focus on the power of now and relish every moment. Because if you are not going to live for today, what's the point?
There is no future, there is no past. Thank God this moment's not the last. There's only us, there's only this. Forget regret, or life is yours to miss. No.
Shelby was right. This is a brown football.
Oh, honey, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I can jog all the way to Texas and back, but my daughter can't. She never could. Could. I'm so mad I don't know what to do. I want to know why. I want to know why Shelby's life is over. I want to know how that baby will ever know how wonderful his mother was. Will he ever know what she went through for him? Oh, God, I want to know why! Why? Lord, I wish I could understand! No. 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 It's not supposed to happen this way. I'm supposed to go first. I've always been ready to go first. I don't think I can take this. I don't think I can take this. I just want to hit somebody till they feel as bad as I do. I just want to hit something. I want to hit it hard.
Here. Hit this. Go ahead, Malin. Slap her.
Are you crazy?
Hit her. Are you high, Clary?
Have you lost your mind?
We'll sell t-shirts saying I slapped Weezer Boudreaux. Hit her.
Miss Clary, enough.
Weezer, this is your chance to do something for your fellow man. Knock her lights out, Malin!
Let go of me!
Malin, you just missed a chance of a lifetime. Half a Chicopin parish will give the eye teeth to take a whack of Weezer.
Oh.
You are a pig from hell.
Weezer, don't leave!
Weezer! Please, I was just kidding. Come back. Oh.
This is not a very Christian thing to do.
And now you gotta lighten up.
Doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. How do I know this? I don't, but I'm making sound, and that's the important thing. That's what I'm here to do. Sometimes I think that's the only thing that's important, really, you know? It's just letting each other know we're here, reminding each other that we're part of a larger self. I used to think Jim Carrey is all that I was, just a flickering light. A dancing shadow. The great nothing masquerading as something you can name. Seeking shelter in caves and foxholes dug out hastily. An archer searching for his target in the mirror. Wounded only by my own arrows. Begging to be enslaved. Pleading for my chains. Blinded by longing and tripping over paradise.
The path to your success is not ahead. It's not ahead. You are already on it. Remove the judgment. Remove the dissatisfaction with your progress and the frustration that grows from your impatience. And you will see. You will see that everything that is happening to you is happening for you. It is serving you as much as you will allow it to do so. Before you can successfully move in the direction of your goals, you need to be clear about where you wish to go. That makes sense, doesn't it? What is it that you would like to accomplish? Sometimes the most rapid path to clarity is through the experience of dissatisfaction. Often it is only through the discomfort of ineffective choices that you are able to determine what you actually want. Your life experience, both past and present, can teach you everything that you need to know about creating an effective future. Sometimes, right, the best way to knowing what you want is through the experience of what you don't want. So think back. What were your three most painful life experiences? What did you gain from those experiences? What did you learn that has been helpful in making more effective choices? And how will you apply those lessons in your plan to better facilitate the accomplishment of your current goals? What are you experiencing right now that is not to your liking? And what would you like to create instead? Begin to formulate a plan using your present experience as a guide to more effective living today. Success or sabotage, it is always, always one or the other. And the answer is in your choice. So how are you using your life experience today?
Yeah. voices are always here.
And it's the voices that you're hearing now, isn't it?
No. Mrs. Dalloway, it's you. I've stayed alive for you. But now you have to let me go.
Richard?
No, wait, Lily. Tell me a story.
What about?
Tell me a story from your day.
I got up.
Yes?
And I went out and, I went to buy flowers. Like Mrs. Dalloway in the book, you know?
Yes.
And it was a beautiful morning.
Was it?
Yes, it was so beautiful. It was so fresh.
Oh, fresh, was it? Like a morning on the beach?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Like that morning when you walked out of that old house and you were 18 and maybe I was 19.
Yes.
I was 19 years old and I'd never seen anything so beautiful. You. Coming out of a glass door in the early morning, still sleepy. Isn't it strange? Most ordinary morning in anybody's life. I'm afraid I can't make it to the party, Clarissa.
The party? Doesn't matter.
You've been so good to me, Mrs. Dalloway. I love you. I don't think two people could have been happier than we've been.
Thank you.
Poet and peacemaker Matty Stepanek was just 11 when he came into my life. We became instant friends. Though just a small boy, his outlook on life was profound.
I want people to know my life philosophy, to remember to play after every storm.
Matty called his poems heart songs.
A heart song doesn't have to be a song in your heart, even talking about love and peace. Some people might even call it a conscience. Mm-hmm. It's your message, what you feel you need to do.
Matty was born with a rare form of muscular dystrophy.
You feel it in your muscles. You feel muscle pain. To get around, I need my wheelchair first. I need oxygen tanks.
But he wasn't bound by his physical limitations. His brilliant mind allowed his spirit to soar.
I've had so many close calls to dying, and I've come through all of them. I have figured I have a purpose, and I have to carry out that purpose.
His mother, Jenny, also suffered from the debilitating disease and unknowingly passed it on to all four of her children. Matty was her only child who lived past the age of four.
Well, how are you? How is your health? How are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better health-wise. I'm doing very well excitement-wise.
From the very start, I knew I was in the presence of a remarkable heart.
We are a mosaic of gifts, and each of us has our inner beauty, no matter how we look.
When Matty faced a potentially life-threatening surgery in 2001, thousands of viewers joined me in praying for him to get well.
I'm asking you, everybody watching, who believes in the power of prayer, to join together in prayer for Matty.
Despite his many brushes with death, Matty defied the odds again and again. He did it with courage and grace.
But I'm always careful to see my glass half full, because if I see my glass half empty, with no hope at all, it may as well be empty all the way.
You I love. I love you. You love me.
Yep.
Yep. Talk to you later.
I love you so much, Oprah.
Well, I love you so much too, Matty.
The instant connection I had with Matty is something that's only happened to me a handful of times in my life. He was on a mission to do as much as he could with the little time that he had.
Tell me this, are you playing more? Are you having a good time with all this? Are you getting to be a boy at all?
I'm having a lot of fun with this because I get to travel and meet new people.
As his body grew weaker, Matty's message became stronger.
A champion does not mean you have to come home with a big golden trophy. A champion is your strength inside of you.
But every champion will face a battle he can't win. On June 22nd, 2004, Matty's frail little body failed him. He died in the arms of his mother, Jenny, and our world lost one of the sweetest souls I've ever known. He was 13.
And I think he was ready to die. He kept saying, heaven's wonderful, I've been there. And he kept saying, have I done enough? And so I looked at Matty and I said, Matty, it's okay. It's okay to rest. You are everything God created people to be. You are everything God created you to be. You have done everything you came here for, and I'll be okay. And it's okay to rest. I love you.
A few days later, in his Maryland hometown, I stood among hundreds of Matty's admirers to celebrate his life. I spoke at his funeral that day.
I know that his heart song has left a heartprint in my life.
So did Matty's hero, former President Jimmy Carter, who summed up how we all felt about my guy, the poet, peacemaker, and philosopher who dared play after every storm.
We have known kings and queens. We've known presidents and prime ministers. But the most extraordinary person whom I have ever known in my life is Matty Stepanek.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out on the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is." And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is." And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day, he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, "Is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep..." I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. 'Cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is."
I don't know if we have time for me to tell you the story about the wave. It'll take about 2 minutes. You want to hear it? There's this little wave, this he wave, who's bobbing up and down, I'll shorten it, bobbing up and down on the ocean, having a great time, and all of a sudden he recognizes he's going to crash into the shore. And this big, wide ocean, he's now walking, moving toward the shore. And we get annihilated. He gets so despairing. "My God, what's going to happen to me?" And he's got this sour, despairing look on his face. Along comes a female wave, bobbing up and down, having a great time. The female wave says to the male wave, "Why are you so depressed?" Mel says, you don't understand. You're going to crash into that shore and you'll be nothing. She says, you don't understand. You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean. That's what I believe.
You're part of the ocean.
That's right. I'm not a wave. I'm part of all of humanity.
So you're not going to die?
I'm going to die, but I'm also going to live on.
Stop existing. Start living. Take the pill. Side effects reported include increased consciousness, heightened awareness, unlimited gratitude, and unbridled joy. People have reported uncontrollable tapping, singing in elevators, and dancing with abandon from listening to the pill. Live the life that you were meant to live. Take your prescription for success. Listen to Mark Warren in The Pill Daily.
Change your thinking. Change your life.
Take your fucking pills!
Hello, this is Mark.
Hey Mark, Sage here. I'm sorry to hear what's going on with your family. I had wondered why you had not been on Anchor for a while, and I wasn't sure what the situation was. A friend of mine, you know, went through a situation of losing both her parents in the same year, a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's very, and is she still in a placement of recovering? And I myself lost my father when I was very young, when I was 12. And it's a very hard thing to do. And I understand that sometimes in life we all want to go around the danger. We want to walk around where the hard part is and not go through it. But sometimes going through it is the only thing that's needed to make us stronger. And I hope that the blessings of Creator be upon your family at this time, and that you all be strengthened in the best ways.
Thank you, Sage, for calling in. And I would love to walk around this. I would love to get in the bed and stay in the bed for a few months. But aside from that not being the best way, it's not even possible. Thank you.
You know, what I do with people that are going through hard times like yours is I reassure them that everything is going to be okay. I know it might be scary, but everything is going to be okay. Because remember this. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. Because it's true, I will be here for you.
I will listen, and I will.
seasons are made for change. Our lifetimes are made for years. So I will be here. I will be here. You can cry on my shoulder when the mirror tells us we're older. I will hold you and I will be.
Thank you, James. You're a very kind man, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mark, thank you for sharing and for rekindling in me all too personal memories that parallel the path of life that you're currently on. My thoughts are with you.
Thank you, Bernie. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. And blessings back to you. My thoughts are with you as well.
Mark, my dear friend, my comrade in arms, my fellow soulmate. And the reason I say that is because we both are walking the journey on the same planet, trying to make a difference as best we can with the gift that we were given to help and inspire other people so that they can become the best that they're capable of. And in this troubled time, I just want you to know that I'm here. I'm only ever a phone call away. I'm only ever a call in away. This is what I do. This is my space. This is where I live. I facilitate 2 men's cancer support groups and 2 multiple myeloma groups. And I'm here for you, brother, with everything I have to offer, with my entire soul and every fiber of my being.
Mark, I also wanted to take time to note and to express my gratitude to Bernie for reaching out to my station and letting me know that you were back on Anchor, that you were here and that you had content up. Regarding this, I had a feeling, my friend, this was coming based upon our communication. And it goes to show you the power of this community. Bernie and I have had conversations in the past. I think he knows a little bit about my background. He knows what I'm up to. He knows what I do. He knows I'm an oncology nurse by background. And I think he knows the nature of my station, probably more importantly. I think he knows the nature of who I am as a human being. Who I am as a spiritual being having a human experience. And he was kind enough to call into my station and let me know that there was content up on your station and that I was needed here for you. and I am. And
Bobby, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I know, I know that you're here. And I appreciate that about you. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Mark, what's up, man? I was just thinking of you earlier today, praying for your mom, and then boom, I was actually going to call in, and then boom, the show was there. And I cleared my schedule as quick as I could to listen to it. My man, that was absolutely riveting. The whole show today, it was one for the history books. I'm sorry that you're going through this. I know how challenging these times in life are. But thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart and your thoughts and all those clips with us. Man, it's inspiring. You are a real inspiration and a gift to all of humanity. And I just want to say thanks, thanks, thank you again and again. Be blessed, my man.
Well, Kurt, thank you. You're always so kind. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
I'm going to leave the caption blank so you decide if you want to publish this or not. I just want you to know that you have my deepest sympathies. Yeah. I don't know, Mark. What else is there to say, right? Sometimes life sucks. And you just gotta push on through. Thanks for all the clappies.
Lulu, I really appreciate it, so I'm publishing it. Yeah, it always seems awkward in these kinds of circumstances, doesn't it? Because whatever you say, it just seems awkward. And what is really interesting, I was looking a moment ago, is how many people don't go from the first segment to the second segment, how it drops off. It is such an uncomfortable subject for most of us. I mean, it is for me. And that's one of the reasons why I'm sort of pushing myself through it. I mean, I really don't have a choice, right? But I can't hide from it. I would love to hide from it. But, you know, it's something that we all, it's the one thing that we all have in common, right? We all have to deal with it in some capacity at one time or another. And this is my time.
Mark, okay, I'm standing in my kitchen. It's 9:40 at night. I just got home from work a little bit ago. And I'm finally getting a chance to listen to your channel. And there are tears rolling down my face. And I'm going to have to take a pause because so much of what you're saying is just hitting way, way too close to my home. But I wanted to at least do a call in and let you know that I am continuing to pray for your mom and for your family and for you. And just to thank you for putting so many words out there that I've been unable to verbalize. I will, tomorrow morning, listen through more of this.
Jennifer, thank you for that. I am so grateful for your continued prayers and support, and I want you to know that those are extended back to you. And to your family. I really appreciate it. And it is very helpful. Thank you.
Mark, I would like to thank you for sharing all this painful information. The pain that comes through your voice, through all the segments that you put up here, is so powerful. I have no idea, at what exact situation your mom is. I have no idea if she would like to hear every bit of information that you put out on your station today. I've been listening to each and every segment, and I exhausted my 1 minute. So what I was trying to say is, I don't know if you feel like letting your mom hear the last hour or hour and a half of content that you put up here, and the call-ins that you got into your station. She would be so proud of you for this celebration that you put for her, and the sharing that you did with all of us. I really thank you, and even though I'm not a religious person, I pray for you, and I pray for her.
Hey Zvi, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the prayers. As for my mom, I'm not quite sure she would be able to hear it right now. Maybe later. She definitely would not be able to handle the first few segments. Not at the moment. Thank you so much for the kind words, the thoughts, and the prayers.
Baby, he's back. Don't close the door. Anchor can't survive without him anymore. He's got all his words to give. He's got all his thoughts to live. Mark will survive on Anchor. Welcome back, Mark. We missed you, baby. You got some quality segments popping on your station, brother. Glad to see you in good spirits, high spirits, and in anchor spirits. Anchors away. Ahoy, me mateys. Welcome back to town, Mark Ward of the Pill. We missed you. Can you tell? Am I like a little bit enthusiastic or what? I hope you're well. I'm glad you're well. I'm so glad you are back. I'm going to echo the shit out of your station. Toot sweet. Watch out. Here I come. Georgie T. Atcha.
Georgie D. That was fantastic. And it was better than my coffee at giving me that little morning pinch that I needed to get me through the day. Thank you so much. I appreciate the welcome back. I appreciate you.
Hey, Mark. Just wanted to check in to see how you were doing, because I know that yesterday was kind of tough to get through because of the news about the cancer. And I did keep you and your family in my prayers last night. Hopefully today will be a better day for all of you, for you especially. And just remember, Mark, that as tough as it may be, you will get through this. I know you're going to get through it.
Hey, James, thank you for checking in. We've had the news about the cancer for a week now. It's a week today. And so I guess every day is a little bit different in terms of processing. You know, I was down there in South Carolina where my mom is until this past weekend. So I really had to
sort of keep a brave face and keep things moving. There was a lot to do, so I couldn't really give in. So it's only coming home and that I've, you know, started to process it. So anyway, more than you needed to know. But thank you for the prayers and the thoughts. And yes, I will survive for sure.